myself. Like I did last week, I told a story about T-Mobile, no service. Cindy did finally get her new phone. She loves it. It's working. Yay, Cindy. Nene and Nisha did their thing. But today, as I drove to work, the gas station I go to, gas was $3.49. As I drove to work, it was $3.49. And I needed gas, but it's on the wrong side of the road. And I wanted to get some work done because I had an 11 o'clock meeting. So I decided I was going to go on the way back to my 11 o'clock meeting. I would leave early enough so I could go ahead and get my gas because I needed gas before I could get to the meeting because I couldn't get there without it. And it was $3.59, 10 cents in 4 hours. Now, I know that it is a conspiracy. And in the words of Eddie Murphy, that's C-O-N-spiracy. It's a conspiracy. And I fussed and fumed and fussed and fumed as I put in my credit card, as I hit the button, as I pumped my gas. I was mad. I was livid. I even probably uttered a few cuss words under my breath. I was not in collar, but that makes it okay. But I'm sure. and said it did. I'm sure I uttered a few words under my breath. In my little car, it takes 10 gallons. And as I turned it off, put the thing in, closed the thing, looked back at it, saw $10, this little, still, small voice said, "All that for $1.10, Scott." That's how much. No, for a dollar. It was 10.1 gallons. $1.10. I got myself all worked up over 10 cents a gallon, which was ridiculous. But at the end of the day, it cost me $1.10 more. It really wasn't worth all the heartburn I gave myself over it. You know what I mean? That might apply to somebody here tonight. I don't know. I know it did me. Confession's good for the soul. My soul feels better. Thank you very much. Amen and amen. Wow. Right. I know, right? Okay, we're going to do a quick review. Father Looker was quick to point out to me, and I'm grateful that he did privately rather than publicly here last week. Next slide. Council of Nicaea was 325. Last week I had on my slide 365. Please forgive me for those of you who are taking notes. It was 325. And the purpose of the council was to define what it meant to be a Christian, because the Christian church was in total disarray because it just came out from underground to now public. And so now everybody was exchanging ideas and it was okay to talk about it, and they really couldn't come together on what it was. Next slide. Oh, wow. Whew. My pointer's really working today. When we say at the beginning of either creed, the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, I or we believe, what we are saying is this is what holds together my faith. This is the glue that everything clings to. This is what I believe. So as soon as you say, "I believe," you better know every word you're saying after it. And you better believe it. Because it's very important to make sure that what you believe is what your confession is. Next. When the creed says we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible, it aligns itself in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." So it is aligning with the God of the Old Testament. Next. He is God. He is the supreme being. He's in charge of it all. He made it all. It's all his. Nothing was made without him. Next. He is my Father. He is my protector. He is my provider. And I am his child. and his power is limitless. That's what we're saying in that first section. I just wanted to review that with you. He created all things. Oh, I lost my pointer didn't work. His power is limitless. He created all things. Next. Heaven and earth and all they contain. Visible and invisible. Seen, unseen. It's there or it's not there. Whether you knew it was there or it's always been there or it just got there or it's been there forever. He created it all. Next. All right. Here is where we get into tonight's section. Notice the first thing I want you to notice. You see how hard it is to read the Nicene side, which is your left. I mean, your right. And the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. That's what they were working with. This is where all the confusion started to come in for about 200 years as people began to teach what that meant. The Nicene Creed, after they met for over a month, and all the bishops and all the priests and all the deacons that were respected in the Christian church, over 300 of them, came together, and this is what they did with that section. Instead of I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, they say, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. I think they expanded it just a hair. They were trying to make sure that there was no question in the mind of any Christian what this statement meant. Next. The problem arose with the Apostles' Creed. Arius and others in his statement is that it could be interpreted in numerous ways. This statement here could be interpreted in numerous ways. It could mean Jesus was simply a son. Think about it. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. It could mean that Jesus was simply a son. Next. It could mean that Jesus was mortal and not fully God, which is what Arius's contention was. Jesus was a man made by God. No matter how he got here, he was still a man. But God put him there. God sent him here as a man. That he wasn't fully God. It could mean that he is our Lord, whoever's saying the creed. But it's not necessarily everyone's Lord. It left open the interpretation of, you could say, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, but you're meaning your group. You're the people you hang out with. He's our Lord. But that didn't exclude other lords. It was just proclaiming. It could be interpreted. I mean, to us, no, I don't mean that. No, you don't mean that. But it could be interpreted that people could say, well, that's what they're saying, but it leaves room for a more broader stroke. So in the Nicene Creed, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. I'm not going to read all that again because it's really wordy. We're going to break it down section at a time. Next. And in one Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to read something from the book that I've been using to help first see what we're talking about here. Oh, one other thing, too, is I didn't put this on a slide, but another false interpretation of Jesus that was prevalent of the day is that he really wasn't a man. He was a spirit. And we just thought he was a man, or the people in that time just thought he was a man. But he was fully God. He never really became a man. He was just a spirit being that looked like a man. Okay? Wow. You know, it's really hard from my perspective, and I'm sure from your perspective, how someone could be a Christian and not believe some of the basic tenets of the faith that we take for granted. But you have to believe me when I say there are people that you know that probably, if you sat down and discussed this line by line, there might be some great differences of what they mean when they're saying the same thing you're saying, but they mean something completely different. Okay. I'm going to read a section of the book from Bishop Myers. When God revealed his name to Moses in Exodus 3:14, he said, "I am." It was a huge statement in two words. God declared that he simply was. He has no beginning, he has no end. He depends on nothing else for his being. Everything else is made, but he is unmade. I really like that. Everything else is made, but he is unmade. We call ourselves human beings, but we really aren't. We are really human becomings, because we are always changing, we're always growing, we're modifying, we're dying. Unlike us or anything else in creation, God always was, always is, and always shall be. He's constant. He is a true being. So when God gave his name, I am, this is what was interesting to me. It became a sacred name. The Jews thought it to be so sacred that they refused to write the whole word and left out the vowels, leaving only the consonants Y, H, W, and H. Nowadays, no one even knows what the vowels were. So different, Bible translations put different letters between the consonants, Jehovah or Yahweh. When it came to the saying the name of God, it was considered unpronounceable. So the Jews substituted the word Adonai, that is, Lord. Even today, in many English translations, you will read about the Lord God. Notice that the word Lord is always in capitals. This is the way to signify in English that it was the sacred name of God. When the Old Testament was first translated into Greek, the translators translated Adonai using the Greek word kurios, and Looker's not here tonight to help me, which means Lord or Master or Governor. Later, when the apostles wrote the New Testament in Greek, they also used the word kurios, which was the translation for Adonai, which was the translation for Jehovah. Okay? The chain of succession here I want you to get at, when the writers of the Nicene Creed wrote the Nicene Creed, when they used the word Lord, they were using the same word as God. Now, this kind of twisted my brain just a little bit, because Jesus is my Lord. When I make that statement, what I am signifying is he is the ruler of my life. I bow my knee to Jesus. But in essence, what I'm really saying is, not only is Jesus my Lord, but he is also my Lord. He is my God. There is, when you start looking at this word Lord, they are saying that I believe and in one God, Jesus Christ. They're not separating Jesus from God. They are using the same word that they would to designate God. They are using the same word. I found that very interesting, and it helps us as we go on to why they were so pronounced in the definition that they gave in the next section. Okay. So now that we got that. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, there is only one. There isn't two. There isn't three. There isn't 950,000 like numerous other people had. There is one Lord. They are all consistent. They are all the same. This declares that Jesus is God. Next. The Christ, the Messiah, and God are one. They're different manifestations of the same God. Jesus was God made flesh. And I don't know about y'all, but I really have to kind of chew on this a little bit, because somewhere inside of me, I do have this division. I do have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each of them serving their own role. And that's true to a sense, but it's not true at the core. It's not true at the foundation. At the foundation, it's all coming out of one God. Okay? And then Thomas really kind of summed it up for us in John 20:28, where he said, after Jesus came to him and told him to touch and all that, and he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas got it. At that moment, Thomas got it. He wasn't saying he was going to quit worshiping God and worship Jesus. He was saying, "My Lord, my God." And I believe Thomas had a revelation at that time of that he was actually touching God. He was actually touching God in the flesh, fully man, yet fully God. Just a powerful, powerful statement from Thomas. Next slide. All right, we're going to move on from there because we can... You see what I mean? Just a few words and it gets really, really deep. The only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds. The next interesting thing I want to point out, and we're going to see it as we continue to go on. I'll go back, Kevin, you don't need to. Three times, I don't want you to go back. I'm going to go back. Don't go back, Kevin. There's nothing there for you. Three times in this section, in describing who Jesus is, the word begotten is used. It must be a very important word. So I wanted to understand what the word begotten meant. Begotten means to brought forth. What's wrong, Darla? Is it misspelled?
No.
Okay. Begotten means brought forth, or published, or begat. Begat means, begotten means it's been done. Jesus was brought forth or published to the world. Yes, he was born, and this is really going to stretch you a little bit here. Yes, he was born into this world through the Virgin Mary. But that was not the beginning of Jesus. That was not the beginning of Jesus. Jesus was the only begotten Son. We are sons of God. Sons and daughters of God. But none of us can claim that we are God's only begotten Son. We can all claim sonship or daughtership, His fatherhood. We can all claim that. But we cannot claim that we were the only begotten. We were not brought forth and published in the same way that Jesus was. Next. He is the only one. Next. Before everything else, he was. Before everything else, he was. John 1. We know it, but we're going to hear it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. I believe, as I've been doing this study, I read this scripture. The church at 325 had these writings. They were not canonized, but they had these writings. I believe in the writing of the Nicene Creed, this was probably one of the key, I can't prove it by any of the research I've done, but when you read this section of John, 1 John, and you read this synopsis in the Creed, it's almost hand in hand. There was none like him. There was none before him. There's none going to be after him. He was with God in the beginning. He was there. He was God. The light and all that comes out in the Creed. I believe that Athanasius was using this as one of his references of defining the role of Jesus Christ in our faith, because they really line up together. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Again, I believe the intent here is very clear. There is not three gods, there is one. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot deny Jesus and have God. You cannot deny God and have only Jesus. You cannot deny the Holy Spirit and only have God and Jesus. You can't. They are all the same. Different manifestations, different things that interact with us, but they are all the same. You cannot have one without the other.